I heard the interesting story some time ago of a lady who had a wee dog. And anywhere she went, the wee dog had to get going with her. She was one of those ones. And she was had planned to go for 2 weeks holidays to Scotland to visit family. And of course, the wee dog had to get going as well. So as they set sail in the boat had just left the dock and she discovered wee dog had gone missing. And this was a whole how do you do? And at the heels of the hunt, they discovered the dog was in the sea. The dog had been spotted in the water. And as you can imagine, with it not being a human, the boat had to go on. There was nothing could be done. The wee woman was devastated. And so she went on to Scotland and she spent the 2 weeks there with her family. But when she returned home, as she pulled up with a car, and as she went up to the front door of her house, what was waiting for her there? None other than 14 pints of milk. You see, she forgot to cancel the milkman. That story, as I would look at some of the expressions in your faces, that story just didn't turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out. Sure it didn't. But you know, friends, in life, things don't always turn out the way we quite anticipate. You know, that was the same here for the church. God had been moving mightily. As you read from the beginning of Acts, there was mighty things happening. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. There were many, many people been saved. The many great miracles were happening. God was working mightily. It was a great time, a real encouraging time for those who must have been there, who must have been witnessing this, experiencing this. But persecution was coming. Persecution was there. People were being persecuted. People were being flogged for their faith. James had been killed. James was the first of the disciples to have been martyred. And I'm sure this was tough. This would have been hard for his friends, for the other apostles, for the church. And now Peter had been put in prison. And it was looking very likely that Peter was going to suffer the same consequences as James had. It's not the way the church would have liked it. But we see here in this passage, there are three different people, or three different types of people at work. And the first person I want us to consider together is the enemy, the work of Satan. You see, when it pleases God to use an individual or a group of people in his service, and when he works through them and they see great things happen, encouraging things happen, people have been saved, people maybe have been wonderfully delivered from some sort of sinful bondage or another, when it pleases God to do this, the enemy doesn't like it. He doesn't like it at all. And we can be rest assured, he will up his game against us. He will up his game. And he will use whatever means he can to do that. He's a roaring lion, remember. He's fierce. And by any means, he will try to distort, to disrupt, to put the whole thing off course. And he did it here by using Herod. Herod, he'd stretched forth his hand. He had arrested some of the church intending to persecute them. He had put James to the sword. And he had saw that this pleased the Jews. And so then he decided to take Peter also and put him in prison. Herod, you see, he was out here to try and make a bit of a name for himself. It was at that time of the Passover. There were plenty of Jews about, and he had this plan. He says, I'll make a real spectacle out of Peter. I'll make a real spectacle out of him in front of all these people. And you know, the people will be saying, well, you know, isn't Herod some boy? Peter's situation here, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. Let's look at the details here. There was 16 soldiers in all, four squads of four, who had been assigned to look after him. We find him here, he was in prison. He was sleeping between two soldiers, one on either side of him. He was bound with not one, but two chains. There was sentries, there was guards at the entrance, and there was the big iron gate that led out to the city. His situation wasn't good. The enemy had him imprisoned, and he was well imprisoned. And I think that if Peter had been given the task at the beginning of his life of planning out his life the way he wanted it, this would not have been a situation that he would have planned for himself to have went through. Wouldn't have been. But I wonder this morning, is there somebody here, and maybe you're in a situation and you don't want to be in it? You're finding yourself in a situation and it's not maybe the way you anticipate it. Maybe young people, in the last 2 weeks you received exam results, whether it was A-levels or GCSEs, and perhaps the results just didn't go as you would have liked or you would have anticipated. And right now you find yourself in a situation that you don't particularly want to be in. Maybe there's someone here today and your job, the future of your job isn't very certain. And you know all those bills are coming in, and even morale at work's not good. And you're in a situation you just don't want to be in. That's not good. Perhaps there's someone here this morning and your health has taken a turn for the worst. Perhaps you're facing some sort of issue with your health. And it's not pleasant. It's a situation you just don't want to be in. Very often, especially amongst young people, they can be asked, have you a favorite verse or what would be one of your favorite verses? And a verse that always will come up is that verse, Jeremiah 29 and 11. You'll very often hear it quoted, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." But you see then, when our plans are going this way, but God's plans for us are going that way, things can change. And friends, the enemy is very, very good at coming in and saying, look at this now. Your God who claims he loves you, why is he letting this happen to you? Why are you going through this situation? He's sovereign. What's happening here? He's very good at doing that. And you know, Peter here, he had come through a lot. This was actually the third time he was in prison. You read about it in Acts 5, the second time he was in prison, he was flogged, all for following the Lord Jesus. It would have been very easy for him to have got disheartened with the whole thing. And perhaps you're here today as a Christian and you have sought to follow the Lord, to be faithful to the Lord, but it just seems that it's just one blow after another, one disappointment after another. I encourage you today, the Lord is sovereign. The Lord is in control. Nothing is beyond his control. And we can be encouraged from Peter's reaction to his situation. That leads us nicely on to the next point. Yes, we see the work of the enemy, but let's see here the Lord at work. The Lord at work. What was Peter doing? Verse 6. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was climbing the walls? No. Peter was sleeping. Now, sleeping is one of the most difficult things for us to do when we're facing anxiety, when we're facing tough situations in life. Now, I took a bit of rocking last night before I was sleeping at the thought of having to stand in front of you lot this morning, I have to say. But sleeping's not easy. And here we have Peter. He was facing death in a matter of hours. He was facing death. He was sure to be executed in a matter of hours. And yet he was sleeping. How? Let me remind you of a few words that Jesus said to him back in John chapter 21. Remember, Peter had disowned Jesus. And Jesus had then, he had rose from the dead and he appeared again to his disciples. And in John 21, he had restored Peter. He says, do you love me? And he told him, he says, now Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. But he says this to him. He says, I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. I wonder, as Peter was in the prison, with these words of Jesus at the forefront of his mind. And the previous time he was in prison, back in Acts 5, the Lord had delivered him and the other apostles miraculously that time as well. And I wonder, was Peter, had he all this in his mind and he was able to relax, he was able to trust, even through the storm, to trust in his God. You see, the Lord had given Peter his word. He'd given him his word, and Peter was able to take this word, to hold on to it, to use it as an anchor through this storm, and to cling to this anchor in the midst of the storm. I wonder, is there somebody here this morning, and there's a situation in your life, and it's a burden upon your heart, it's a constant burden. Maybe it has been that for years, and sometimes it really gets you down. And as you would very often lay that before the Lord and pray that and pray over that, as you would think about that, you can recall a time at least once in your life when you know that in your pain and your distress, as you sought the Lord about it, he gave you a word. He gave you a word, and you knew at that time he spoke to you. He gave you a word, or he gave you a promise. But maybe as time has passed, there doesn't seem to have been really any real fulfillment of that, any real change. And you know, when that happens very often, it's easy to lose heart of that word. It's easy to begin to doubt. Well, I want to encourage you today, you hold on to that word. You hold on to that promise that God has given you for that situation. And yes, when the storm comes, you use that as your anchor. And you, like Peter here, you cling to it. And you trust him. You trust him. It was Peter himself who said in 2 Peter 3, he says, the Lord is not slow. Or in the King James Version, he says, he's not slack in keeping his promise. The Lord's not slow in keeping his promise. And we see that here been fulfilled, right before our very eyes. Matthew Henry says something lovely. He says, gates and guards kept all his friends from Peter, but they couldn't keep the angel of the Lord from him. Gates and guards could keep his friends from him, but they couldn't keep the angel of the Lord from him. And so the angel of the Lord appears to him in this situation in verse 7. And just look at this. Look, this is God at work here, friends. This is powerful. He appears in the middle of the cell. A light shines. He strikes Peter in the side. He says, get up. And the chains just fall off his wrists. That's amazing. The chains fall off his wrists. He tells him, now put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter obeyed him. Get your cloak wrapped around you. Now follow me. Peter didn't know what was happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards, and they went out to the iron gate leading to the city, and it opened for them by itself. There were no angle grinders. There were no crowbars. This was the Lord. And this thrills my heart. This is amazing. This is God at work. This is God, the supernatural at work. You know, friends, isn't it powerful? Isn't our God some operator? Romans 8:31 says, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us? We see that here. And you know, friends, this is the one whom we have gathered to worship this morning. He hasn't changed, as we said at the beginning. He's the same today as he was last week. And he's the same God in this passage as he is right now. He hasn't changed. But the question is, and the challenge for you and I is this morning, do we believe this? Do we truly believe this? That he hasn't changed, that he still is powerful, he's still able to do this? That leads us finally on to the last point. We saw the enemy at work, we saw God at work, but we see God's people at work. We see the Lord's people at work. Verse 5, what are they doing? Peter was in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Also in verse 12, when Peter had got out of the prison, he went over to the house of Mary, and what were the people doing? They had gathered, and they were praying. It would have been very easy for these people to have given up. To have given up, well, they could have resigned themselves to the fact that what happened to James was going to happen to Peter. They could have gathered to have wept. They maybe could have gathered to have maybe even begun to think about burial arrangements. But no, they gathered to pray. And I'm sure that they just would have longed to have went to that prison and got Peter out. I'm sure they would just have longed to try to have rescued their friend and brother from Herod's clutches. But they couldn't. The reality was, humanly speaking, it was impossible. But they had one more item left in the armory. They had that mighty weapon called prayer. And they used it. And it worked. I wonder, have you a loved one this morning? And you know, as you look at them, as you look into their life, you just see them, as it were, sitting in the prison house. You just see them bound. Maybe you see someone who's not a Christian, and you would just love them to come and to give their life to the Lord Jesus, to be set free from their sin. And how you would love to be able to set them free, how you would be able to, you would love to just be able to try to rescue them, but you can't. You can't. And the situation is, it's beyond human help. It's beyond human cure. You say, I can do absolutely nothing. I can do nothing with them. I can do nothing for them. Friends, you have this mighty weapon too. You can pray. You can pray. And I know, you know, you could say to me, I have prayed for years, Richard. I have prayed more than you'll ever know. And I know, friends, it's very easy for me to say, it's very easy to say, oh, you pray, you pray. But can I encourage you, and I trust that this passage will encourage your heart to persevere. You persevere. You keep praying. And you believe in the humanly unbelievable today. You believe in the work of God today. You keep praying, you keep holding on to God, and you will see God. You will see God. Many people in gathered this morning have been praying, people. You have prayed. Maybe you've prayed for a situation for years, but you can rejoice this morning because you were able to see God. You were able to see God. And you can also be there for them. You can pray for them, but you can be there for them. Now, it's interesting that whenever the angel of the Lord delivered Peter here out of the prison, it says that they walked the length of one street and then the angel left them. And here was Peter. He had been delivered. But what did he do then? He went over to the house of Mary, the mother of John. He went over to where his friends were. You know, when you think about that, he needed company. He needed somebody to be able to share this with, maybe to get him a bite to eat. He needed somebody. And you know, very often whenever God steps into somebody's life, when someone gets saved, they need people. They need people just to be there for them, just to help them, just to encourage them. They need an open door. Just you have an open door for that person this morning. You just simply just be there for them. That they would know that you're there for them, that they would be able to come to you. It's interesting to see the people's reaction when Peter appears. The very one they have been praying for whenever he appears. He knocks on the door, and Rhoda, she recognizes his voice, she runs in, she shouts, Peter's at the door. And what do they say to her? You're out of your mind. In other words, you're mad. You have lost your senses. They were praying, yes, but there was unbelief with it. And you know, friends, I think we're all guilty of that at times, aren't we? We're all guilty at times of praying, maybe for a situation, but yet deep down there's just that element of unbelief. May this encourage us to be a believing people. You know, there's a week of prayer coming up, not this incoming week, but next, as George has said, Monday or Sunday the 4th. And may this encourage us to come to that week of prayer, to be believing people. Let's be encouraged by this today. You know, Peter's situation, as we said, in the prison that night, it was desperate. It was desperate. And you know, friends, there are many people in our world today, and their situations are desperate. Their situations are desperate, and they need people who will pray. They need people who will pray and pray earnestly. And so let's take this opportunity of that week to do that. You know, we really need God to do great things in our world today. And let's believe that He will do great things. Let's believe that we too can see God at work. But just as I close, there's a very solemn and indeed a very sad picture here of someone who's not a Christian. The picture of somebody in Satan's prison house, bound by sin, those chains of sin. And no matter what you would try to do, no matter what Peter would have tried to have done, he couldn't free himself. He couldn't set himself free. And there's the picture here of somebody who's not a Christian. No matter what you would try to do through yourself, you can't free yourself. No matter how maybe your friends would love to free you, they can't do that either. But friends, the reality is, death is coming. Death's coming. And we need to get out of there. We need to get out of there. And I just want to ask you just a wee question. Are you happy? Are you happy this morning, sitting in Satan's prison house? Are you happy being in that state, being bound, those chains of sin? Are you happy to be there? I believe that there's people in here this morning, and you're not. I don't believe that that's where you want to be. I don't believe that's where you want to remain. Certainly when death comes, you don't want to be found in that prison house. Let me point you to the one here who alone can help. Let me point you to the one here that regardless of your situation, whatever you maybe think's just holding you back from the Lord, let me point you to the one who can come, the one who can draw alongside, the one who can set you free. And you too, you can experience this supernatural work of God in your own life, in your own situation. You know, we said at the beginning, it's great for the Christian to be able to think that we're another week closer. From last week to now, we're a week closer to seeing Jesus. We're a week closer to looking in to the face of the Master. When the suffering, when the trials, when it's all over, when we're saying to the children, when we've reached the finish line, when we've reached the heavenly shore. It's a wonderful thought. But you know, the reality is, friends, that from this week to next week, not all of us here might reach next week. We might not all be here next Sunday. The reality is that sometime through the week, maybe I, maybe you, could be called to our eternal home. That's the reality. And I trust that when the dawn breaks, it won't be eternal death. It'll be eternal life. Let's bow in prayer.